We'd like to take the Bibles into your hands and turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to read together a passage from Acts chapter 16. And we're going to begin at verse 16. So Acts 16, verse 16, it's on page 1160, if that helps you find it. Acts chapter 16. Okay, let's read this part of the word together. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. I find this to be an intriguing story. When I was a missionary in the Philippines, I once preached in a place where the people responded very differently to the preaching that I did than what I had been accustomed to in Canada. They acted and behaved in such a way that when I would say something, they would respond. They'd say, "Amen! They, you preach that! That's right! That's the truth!" It was all through my sermon that there were these words of affirmation. And I liked it. you people are all very nice and attentive and all that. Yeah, but you sit like stones. There, man, it was different. It was really, really, it's like a thrill. It just made you go, and get excited about your preaching. Amen?
Yeah.
So when I thought about that, and I thought about this story that we read, I thought, what's the problem with Paul and Silas? I mean, here they are, they're going around the city of Philippi. They're preaching the gospel. What are they doing? They are telling people the way in which they could be saved. They were saying, we have been sent by God to deliver a message to you which is for your blessing and for your salvation. And then there's this girl who comes along beside them and is kind of shouting out this message. These men are servants of the Most High God, and they are revealing to you the way of salvation. You say, yeah, way to go. That's right. That's exactly. Isn't that what they were doing? So why in the world would they want this girl to stop? If anybody here needs to stand up and say, hey guys, guess what? That Adam, that Pastor Bruce, he is a servant of the Most High God who is telling you the way to be saved. That's okay with me. We want to say that. But Paul turned to this girl and said, be quiet. And he forced her to lose the spirit that was causing her to speak these words which have the ring of truth. But why is that? And I think this morning it's important that we understand why Paul would say to that girl to be quiet, why he would cast that spirit out. Well, first, we have to consider what is the message that they were giving. The true message is about who God is. Who is God? God is the Creator. God is the one who has a plan to save his lost and damaged creation. It was through the covenants of promise, the covenant made to Adam, made to Noah, made to Abraham, made to David, culminating in Jesus Christ, in which we find the salvation of our souls and indeed of the world. The God that sent Jesus, the God in whom we rely, we call the Most High God. It's a nice biblical language. The Greeks and the Romans in the city of Philippi, they also had a God. The Greeks called this God Zeus. The Romans called this god Jupiter. This god, Zeus or Jupiter, was understood to be an incredibly powerful god. A god that was so great, that was so mighty, that was so majestic, that when he came in the room, all the other gods would stand up. But this god, as powerful as he was also a depraved god. A god who raped virgins. A god who stole and lied. A god who had all the failings of humanity except in him they were magnified. A vengeful, jealous, petty god. And that god they call the Most High God. So this enthusiastic cheerleader of the girl, who was telling the people in a loud voice, these people, these men are servants of the Most High God. What the people heard from her was that they were servants of Zeus. Or servants of Jupiter. And by shouting, and she was trying to drown out the message, that Paul and Silas were praying, which was a God of the covenant, a God of goodness, a God of hope, a God of renewal, a God of salvation. Say, no, it's the Most High God, the one you've always known, the one that you fear, the one that you've tried to appease. Not the God whom you look to for salvation. So what the Spirit was doing, number one, was using language which was meant to confuse the people who were hearing the message of Paul and Silas. That's one thing. Second thing about this girl that I wanted to point out is about the path that had to be followed. Now, I don't very often trot out, I studied Greek and Hebrew in seminary, which I did. I think that sometimes it's just kind of showing off when the minister does that. But this time, it's actually helpful, because in the Greek language, the word "the" is not always included in the same way that the English language tends to include the word "the." Sometimes the word "the" is actually there written, typed in. Sometimes the word "the" is assumed by the context. And sometimes it's not there because the author wants it to be an indefinite sentence. So instead of using the word "the," it uses the word "a." So what this girl is saying, quite literally from the Greek, is these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you way of salvation. Who are telling you way of salvation. If you take the time to look at different English language translations of this verse, you'd find that a bunch of them say, these men are telling you the way of salvation. And you would find other translations which say, these men are showing you a way of salvation. And I'm sure you can tell that there's a significant difference, that they are telling you the way, which means that there is a way, and this is it. Or they're telling you a way, which means that there's this way, but there's also that, that, and that way. Paul and Silas are telling the people that the way to salvation, the way to peace, is by faith in Jesus Christ. By accepting Him as Savior, by embracing Him as Lord, then the benefits, the mercies, the victory of Christ are yours, and you can have peace and confidence in the future because God has embraced you as His son or daughter. That is the way. But what she is saying, it seems, is at least leaving open the ambiguity. That maybe Paul and Silas are telling you a way. And they are telling you a way. But there are other ways. People of Philippi, there is the way of following Zeus and the other gods. There is the way of any of the other religions that are percolating in the culture. There are ways that do not require the sacrifice, the commitment, the dedication that the Jesus way requires. There are ways that don't require you to come into obedience to the moral code of the Bible. That was a problem. The third thing is that the message of God is one that has to be shared with integrity. Paul and Silas went to Philippi and shared the message because the Holy Spirit of God had impressed it upon their heart, and they spoke out of their blessing. The Spirit of peace, the Spirit of joy, gave them a message to communicate and share convincingly and compellingly. Yet the girl who was walking along shouting to them, "These men have been sent by the Most High God, and they are showing you one of the ways of salvation," was not free by the Spirit to share that message. She was bound by an evil spirit and was afflicted to twist the message that came from God. The spirit that was in her is called It says she was met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Now, since I've kind of got into the Greek stuff anyway, I'll carry on just one more time. Actually, it says that she had the Python spirit. The goddess of Philippi was the goddess of the snake, the Python, and people that had the spirit of the Python were able to predict the future. So she was a priestess of the Python religion, you might say. And there was nothing true in her shouting. There was nothing honest in what she said. It was distraction, deflection, and an attempt to prevent people from receiving the good news that Paul and Silas were sharing. And thus, it was an act of mercy upon her that spirit was cast from her. And it was an act of grace to the people of Philippi that now that this girl was stopped her shouting, that the people could actually hear what Paul and Silas were saying. And so that they would have the opportunity to receive that Holy Spirit and to be blessed by the goodness of the gospel. It was mercy for her, financial catastrophe for her owners. And so, because of that, Paul and Silas were arrested, accused, beaten, thrown into the deepest, darkest, most hideous part of the prison in Philippi. Yet in that prison, what do they do? Where there is no light, where the air is rank, where they are bound in uncomfortable, painful condition with their feet in the stocks, what do? They pray and they sing. And they sing so that the whole prison stops. People listen. In the deepest part, in the darkest part, in the worst part, comes song. People were being blessed. I know that we often, in the deepest and darkest times of our lives, when those we love are beset upon, when those we love are lost to the grave, but even then, we sing. But the jailer didn't understand that. He was probably a retired soldier, had a good job in his retirement, taking care of this prison. But if the prisoners escaped, then his life was forfeit. And he knew that it would be much easier for him to take his own life than to endure the death that would be his if his masters lived. Magistrates got hold of him. And as he was about to, he heard the voice of Paul say, "Do not harm yourself, because we are here. We have not escaped. We have of our own will chosen to remain." And so so he knew there was something to this message, because he could hear the singing from the heart of the prison. He could see the doors open, and he could see that they had stayed. They had stayed so that he would hear this message. The message is an answer to the most important question that has ever been asked by anybody. This Philippian jailer has the right to claim the most important question in the world. Lord, sir, what must I do to be saved? This is a question that has eternal significance. You have to ask the question. You have to receive the answer. The answer is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So that's such a simple answer. It isn't go on a long pilgrimage. It's not give up all your possessions. It's not, you know, become a saint and sit in a cave and think only holy thoughts. The answer to the question is receive with an open heart. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And upon receiving it, there is a change. The Philippian jailer was drastically, remarkably, eternally changed by what he now received. Rather than being the one who put them in the stocks, now he is the one that washed their wounds. Now, rather than being a man of roughness, becomes a man of gentleness and compassion. And having asked the question, and having received the answer, and having been changed by having taken the gospel in as his own, he and his family were now baptized. Because baptism is the sign that God has drawn us to himself as a family, as a community. But we saw today. Clara, what a cute kid. But you know what? She will not have a memory of today. And some people would say, well, how can you baptize a person and then have her have no memory of it? The memory of this day resides with us. We remember what has happened to Clara. We remember that she is part of a community, that she is part of a home in which the gospel is held. And she will be reminded that she is a girl upon whom the hand of God has rested, where the sign of God's blessing has been poured upon her. And we will not let her forget that. We will hang on to her. We will love her. In all the times to come, we will love Clara Bryant because God has put her on. Because God has put her in the heart of this community of faith. And thus there is the experience of joy. Because we're not alone. We're not forsaken. We have received the sign of God's mercy. We have seen the signal that God has accepted us in Christ. And we have received the promise that God will be faithful to Clara, to all of us, to all his people. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you stopped that poor girl in Philippi. from being tormented and pursued by an evil spirit. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is in this place as it was in that place, as your Spirit overpowered the forces of evil. We thank you for that Philippian jailer and for his family who received the truth and were changed by it and blessed by it. And we thank you for the truth that has been received by the Bryan family. We thank you for the truth that we have heard as the Bethel community of you. Lord in heaven, make us strong. Make us united. Make us committed to being a community that shares the good words. Lord, may it be said of us that we are the servants of the Most High God who have come to explain the way of salvation. Lord, let that be heard in truth. Let it not be contorted or twisted, but received in its purity and in its power for the salvation of many. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.